Can you hear me today? Can you hear me yet?
Yes.
I'm not going to speak in American accent. Because I'm British now. I felt the Lord was giving me, and several times this in my readings this week, the word path, being on the right path, keeps coming up. I had thought and prepared a different sermon. And then on Thursday, these words kept coming. So I thought, well, maybe you want me to look at something else. So I want to read to you a few verses that came to me as I was reading from Psalm 25. And just listen to these. This is a psalm by David. And see if you can make it your psalm this morning. He starts out by saying, Oh Lord, I give my life to you. I trust in you, my God. Now that's a pretty good start, isn't it? I give my life to you. I trust in you, my God. Don't let me be disgraced or let my enemies rejoice in my defeat. No one who trusts in you will ever be disgraced. But disgrace comes for those who try to deceive others. Show me the right path, O Lord. Point out the road for me to follow. Lead me by your truth and teach me, for you are the God who saves me. All day long, I put my hope in you. I don't think he just did that on Sundays. I think he did it every day, or Saturdays in that case. Remember, O Lord, your compassion and unfailing love, which you have shown from long ages past. Do not remember the rebellious sins of my youth. Remember me in the light of your unfailing love, for you are merciful, O Lord. The Lord is good and does what is right. And listen to this bit. This bit really spoke to me. The Lord is good and does what is right. He shows the proper path to those who go astray. That's encouraging, isn't it? If we go astray, he's going to show us the proper way. He's not going to leave us. He's not going to kick us out. He's not going to tell us off. He's going to show us the right way. The Lord leads with unfailing love and faithfulness all who keep his covenant and obey his demands. I just thought that was quite good. That was quite good. And as I was reading, looking at the news, does anybody watch Sky News? Nobody watches Sky News. I won't tell my son because he works there. But on the news, in the evenings, you come in, you look at the telly, you switch it on, it says, the path to power. This is all about the election. And there that word path comes in again. I said, Lord, you're trying to talk about something about a path. So what I want to do is to talk about going on a journey. And in the good old days, what do you do when you go on a journey? In the good old days when you go on a journey, and people probably still do it, you get out a map, don't you? You get out a map and read the map to make sure you don't get lost. Or at least to get where you're going. Now, I'm not very good at maps. Whenever we've gone on holidays in the past and I'm driving, Joan is a good map reader. She tells me when there's going to be a curve. She tells me when there's going to be a hill or a valley. She tells me lots of things. And I think it's because she loved geography. I never studied it that much, so I just rely on her. But nowadays, we have other ways of navigating, don't we? How many people have one of these? First thing to do when you have one of these is figure out how to get it out of its case. This is a TomTom. Now, I've used a TomTom for a while, but I no longer use TomTom. There are many other devices like this, and you may have one. But there's other devices, and the one that I like most is on my phone. And the one I like is Waze. Does anybody use Waze? If you put that app on your phone, it will tell you where you're going. It's the best one that I've found to use. So I use Waze. So how does it work? the first thing you have to do is to switch it on. Then you pick up your credit card. You switch it on. And when you switch it on, you hope it has enough power to get you where you're going. You might be fortunate enough to have a lead in your back pocket that you can stick it into your car if you've got that device to keep it going. But you've got to make sure that it's switched on. The next thing you do is specify the destination you want to go on. And when you do that, it will calculate the best, I never get this out, route, whatever you call it, route, the best route to follow. Now, it's your turn. You have then got to decide to follow the advice given. The sat-nav knows where you're going. And all along the way, David brings a cup of water. Thank you, David. All along the way, it gives helpful advice. And I love that one with the ways, especially when it tells you when there's a speed trap available, or a policeman is around, or heavy traffic, or speed cameras, or restaurants, and lots of different things that will tell you, and also your time of arrival. The other thing it does, that if you get off the path, it speaks to you. It says, recalculating. When we were in America a few years ago, we had one of these sat-nav things in the car. And I forgot where we were going. It was late at night. And this thing kept saying, recalculating. And I got so fed up hearing this American woman telling me it was recalculating that we switched it off. And Jonathan pulled out the map on his phone and found out where we were going. So sometimes it gets annoying, but it's best to take notice of what advice they're giving. The only thing it won't do for you is drive the car for you. That's something you have to do. So this is useful when we're traveling. Now, I want to give you the best news possible today, is that God provides us with a sat-nav for our daily walk as a believer. And this sat-nav is the Bible. And it's wonderful. We're going to talk about it and compare it to a sat-nav in a car. And I'd like just to say, if any of you don't have a Bible yet, the good time to buy is either this week or next week at the bookshop at Pratt's Bottom. They're closing down their business. It's 25% off this week, and next week they're off 50%. So you've been waiting for a new Bible, go have a look, and you can get one there. Right. Just like there are various versions of the sat-navs that we can buy or on our phone, there are also various versions of the Bible. So we can choose which one is going to speak to you. Now, a lot of people have tried to convince me and tell me that there's only one version to read, and that's the King James Version. I found that difficult. So I get one that I can read and understand that can help me through. Not that I don't study it occasionally. So there's several versions of the Bible. You can choose it. So how does it work? The first thing is, you don't have to worry about the power running out, because it's empowered by the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit never runs low on power. The Holy Spirit will bring life out of the Word. The other thing we can do is that, understand, is that the Holy Spirit, we can trust that it's been programmed correctly. 2 Timothy 3:16 tells us all Scripture is inspired by God and profitable for teaching, for rebuking, for correcting, and training in righteousness. So there's a source of information, a source like a sat-nav to get us on the path that we should be on in God's Word. But you have to read it. It's not going to tell you if you don't read it. And the reading, it shows us the best route or route, the best route to take. Now, Alex has already mentioned the verse that I'd written down. Psalm 119:105, thy word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. That's pretty good, isn't it? That's put straight from God's word telling us about it. The thing is, we have to choose to follow God's plan. The other thing is, God knows where we are. Proverbs 5:21 says, for the Lord sees clearly what a man does, examining every path he takes. And if we go wrong, he doesn't leave us there, but he gives us guidance to get back on the right path through his word, through reading his word. We need to take notice of it to follow it. Now, I want us to look for a few minutes of an Old Testament example. And we're looking at Isaiah chapter 30. I'm just going to read a few verses. This situation was that Judah was about to be attacked by the Assyrians. And unlike the leaders of old, like Moses, Joshua, David, and Jehoshaphat, this king at the time chose not to follow the advice God had given him. Let's look at this. Chapter 30, verse 1. God says, woe to the obstinate children, declares the Lord, to those who carry out plans that are not mine, forming an alliance but not with my spirit, heaping sin upon sin, who go down to Egypt without consulting me. He looked for help to Pharaoh's protection, to Egypt's shade for refuge. But Pharaoh's protection will be to your shame. Egypt's shade will bring you disgrace. Though there have officials in Zoan and their envoys have arrived in Hanes, everyone will be put to shame because of a people's useless to them, who bring neither help nor advantage, but only shame. So there is the problem. The people were not following God's advice. They were not seeking God's wisdom and what they were going to do. Other kings have, but this king didn't do that. So this is the result. It says, go down. This is God tells Isaiah to write this. Go now and write on tablets for them, and inscribe it on a scroll, for the days to come, it may be everlasting witness. I think for the days to come for us too, that if we ignore God's words, it's not going to be good. For these rebellious people, deceitful children, children unwilling to listen to the Lord's instruction, they say to the seers, see no more visions, and to the prophets, give us no more visions of what is right. Tell us pleasant things, prophesy illusions. Leave this way, get off this path, and stop confronting us with the Holy Spirit of Israel. That was the result. That's what happened. Let's carry on. Therefore, this is what the Holy One of Israel says. Because you have rejected this message, relied on oppression, and depended on deceit, the sins you will become for you like a high wall, cracked and bulging, that collapses suddenly in an instant. It will break into pieces like pottery shattered so mercilessly that among its pieces, not a fragment will be found, for the taking coals from the hearth and scooping water out of the cistern. Now, that was going to be the problem. They think they're doing all right, but it's like a wall's going to crack. So much pressure of going the wrong way, it's going to suddenly collapse. I don't know if you've ever had that in your experience. Following my own way, suddenly things collapse. But that's not where God leaves us. And I think this is wonderful. God has a rescue plan. Verse 15. This is what the Sovereign Lord, the Holy One of Israel, says. In repentance and rest is your salvation. In quietness and trust is your strength. But you wouldn't have nothing of it. So God provided a rescue. And there are lots of things it calls in returning and rest. But I like the way this NIV says, in repentance. In order for them to go in the right way, they had to repent. God was saying, you've got to repent. Recognize where you've gone wrong and repent of it. Own up to it. And then you rest in him.
For there is your salvation.
And in quietness and trust is your strength.
Trust him
and he will lead the way. But they didn't listen. But God didn't give up on them.
And verse 18. Yet the Lord longs to be gracious to you. Therefore he will rise up and to show you compassion. For the Lord is a God of justice. Blessed are those who wait for him.
Isn't that a wonderful promise? The Lord does not give up on us. I'm so glad.
He keeps rescuing me.
I think you would realize that today we have the situation where we're in need of help. I believe our nation has turned far from God. It saddens me
to see the news day after day how we're turning away from God. However, he has the rescue plan for the nation. And it was in 2 Chronicles 7:14, you'll remember. If only we would humble ourselves and repent and seek his face,
we would see God's rescue. Would that people in Parliament will humble themselves, repent of the way we've been going, and seek his face.
He would lead us in the right way. Now,
there's the same rescue plan for individuals. And I don't know about you, but some of us here this morning may be on the wrong path
for your life.
We have chosen to ignore God's plan
and go it alone
and not listen for his plea to get us on the back road. And if that's the case with you this morning,
verse 15 is for you. In repentance and rest is your salvation. In quietness and trust is your strength.
That's something that God wants to say. We should listen to it. And then take seriously Proverbs 3, 5, and 6. And I love the way this version puts it too. Trust in the Lord with all your heart. And lean not on your own understanding. In all your ways, submit to him, and he will make your path straight. What a blessing. This word is wonderful. Now, only you know what path you're on today, and only I know what path I'm on. But if this word speaks to you, if God is calling you back, if God is reaching out to you this morning to where you are off his path, he wants to say he loves you. And he wants you to have close fellowship with you. And he has a good plan for your life. Listen to him and do what he says.
Many times when reading the Bible,
I've heard God's voice speak to me. I've heard his voice say, recalculating, recalculating. Change the way I'm going. Change the way I'm thinking. I'll tell you, you get into Proverbs and you can't get away from it, can you? It talks about how you should speak and how you shouldn't speak, about what you should avoid, all kinds of good advice in Proverbs. And so the 30 Proverbs, if you don't read anything else, read one every day and let God speak to you. His word is alive. I'm so glad we're reading his word here this weekend. I was here yesterday and listening that what was being spoken. It was so fresh. I had my pencil writing down notes in the Bible, what God was speaking from his word, because his Holy Spirit brings it alive. Now, I'm not bringing a condemning message to anyone this morning. I'm preaching what God put on my heart. And I'm preaching to myself as well. It's so easy to be tempted to go off the path that God calls you on. Because we have an enemy that doesn't want us to be on that path. But we have a Savior who saved us from him. Greater is he who is in us than he is in the world. Listen to his word. Read his word. Obey his word. And I promise you, you'll have a peace and a joy that passes all understanding. You'll have guidance that will put joy into your heart and your face. When you go down the street and see people who are so worried about what's happening with all this, you can go down the street singing joyful songs to your heart, smiling, rejoicing. And people may ask you, What's wrong with you? What are you on? Can't you see what's going on? You can say, yes, but I see better than you. Because I can see we have a God in heaven who's never going to leave us or forsake us. And he's going to lead us on the path, not, well, to power as well. To power, but he's going to lead us on a path to victory. We've got so much to be joyful about. That Jesus saves us. He loves us. And it's for everyone. Whoever turns to him and accepts him, he will save you. He will lift you up wherever you are. And he'll lead you on the path that's going to be full of joy and hope. Okay.